O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the text. This text poses a haunting question. Is our house like Jerusalem? And what was Jerusalem like? It was a doomed city, impenitent and disobedient, full of self-piety and impiety, all the self-destruction. It was a city also of grief. And of all these groups, it was the Pharisees, led and directed by the scribes, who was Jesus' prime target. That is, Jesus directed his call to repentance in its most stringent and incisive form at them. They were the prime movers in opposition to Jesus. At the hands of a people dominated by this group, Jesus was to die and cross. Therefore, it is fit that Jesus' last word to his people in Jerusalem takes the form of a sad and vehement indictment of scribes and Pharisees and exposure of Israel's guilt in its classic form. These words, at the same time, speak indictments to us. Is our house forsaken and desolate like Jerusalem? This is the judgment that Jesus put on Jerusalem. He said, your house is forsaken and desolate. The pride of scribe and Pharisee worked themselves out to a fearful end. Pride makes them hypocrites. Men hopelessly cloven by the contradiction of the profession of their lips and the desire of their hearts, whitewashed walls that conceal dead men's bones. These are religious men, these scribes and Pharisees. But their religion is made to serve man and not God. No merely secular sin could be so vicious as their sin. Jesus said these words because his hearers needed to hear these harsh and severe words. Their unwillingness to accept the Christ and the kingdom is guilt, is sin against God's Christ. And this is not due to the fact that they are poor inherited, for they are Israelites, and to them belong the sonship, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and of their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. But they would not receive him. Also, the Jerusalem dominated by scribe and Pharisees is the Jerusalem which kills God's prophets and stones God's emissaries. This generation, which has refused the Christ and has become a brood of vipers, serpents, killed by Satan and doomed to Satan's destiny, this generation which lives the climax of Israel's guilt shall live to feel the climax of God's judgment. All the righteous blood on earth which cries to heaven shall come upon this generation. Jerusalem has made the house of God a den of robbers. The men of Israel have made it their house to save them and to enforce them in their entirety. Well, they shall have their house. The Christ, the new temple of God, is withdrawn from them. God will abandon the old temple, and it shall share their doom. Now, this is an obscene crisis. And we cannot get rid of his judgment. Some have tried to do that by critical incisions on the gospel itself, an operation which leaves us with a Christ less harsh than Matthew's gospel gives us. But the word is to us. Your house is forsaken and desolate. Do we need to hear these words? What have we done with God's gift? Take note of the pride of our piety, our resistance of the kingdom, our remolding of Christ to fit nearer our heart's desires. There are hundreds of attempts by us to remodel Christ. We preach but do not practice. We want our ministry to be seen by people. We forget that our task as pastoral theologians is to know the word of God for ourselves and then to apply it rightly to God's people. So God grows great, but so often we cultivate our own greatness. We crowd out Christ with a seeking of places of honor, the best seats in our churches, the reverent salutations in the public arena, and the title which has the ring of greatness, reverence, pastor. If this is self-assertion, it is sin. No honor is to decloud the Christ, the one shepherd of us all. And there is no hope for a person or a religion that hangs in upon itself. All such attempts have one end and one doom. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate. Our mouths are stuck. All the world is held accountable to God in order that all the world may hear the nevertheless of God's acquittal in Christ. There is the word of grace in these words of Christ too. The cry of woe that's heard so often here in Jesus' words is not merely a cry of wrath, but a cry of wrath mixed and mingled with grief. Jesus uses a moving image to depict his yearning grief over the city which he must condemn. How often would I have gathered with children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Jesus' whole will of ministry and mercy is in those words. And you would not is the expression of his anguished wonderment at what Jerusalem did with God's supreme gift to Jerusalem. My friends, only a love that is willing to extend itself in complete self-giving could feel so deeply and deem so justly the refusal of that love. Ponder and reflect on the sacrifice, the self-giving love of Jesus on the cross. On the cross, there is forgiveness for our pride, for our resistance of the kingdom, for our attempt to remodel Christ to our heart's desires. The cross of Christ turns the forsakenness of our house into forgiveness, our desolation into deliverance. And just as surely as Jesus spilt his blood on the cross, so surely are your sins washed away, and you can receive the body and drink that blood in the Holy Supper. As surely as you receive Christ in this sacred meal, so surely can you be that God has forgiven your sins and delivered you from the world of turning in upon yourself. And Jesus' last word in our text is also a word of hope. His last word to Jerusalem, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus gives us hope. His way ends in triumph. His will of ministry and mercy is clear and unbroken from crib to cross. He went the last steps of his way on earth with the same God-centered meekness that had marked the beginning of his way. The way is faith in him. The way that ends in triumph. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.